Man, welcome to BC. Pumped you are with us. If this is your first day with us, man, we are so glad that you are here. Come on, it is sunny, it is gorgeous, it is beautiful, and we're just so blessed that you would spend a day like this here in the house and just walking in a place of worship and word with us. We believe that God, that created the universe, man, he deserves to be worshipped because he is great and awesome, and he has such a desperate love for us that he put his own son on a cross for us. We believe this word is the absolute truth. That's BC, from the beginning until Jesus returns. Man, it's that simple. And we're so blessed that you would spend a Sunday morning with us, and we thank you so much for that. If you would just turn with a few places, we got Ecclesiastes 3, go to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, you'll find Ecclesiastes 3, and then you've got Matthew 13, and 2 Thessalonians 3. We hope to get there, not sure how we go. Buckle up. Come on, here we go. Come on, this is just kind of a flyby message in regards to what's been in my heart for actually a few weeks. And what I mean by flyby, it's not a part of a series. I love these moments that I can just really say, okay, God, where are we at as a church? What's going on? What's in my spirit? What's in my heart? And this is one of those moments that I've been looking forward to a few weeks to be able to preach on what it looks like to enjoy the journey. And what it looks like coming off of our 10 years and saying, okay, let's reflect on the past 10. Let's get juiced for the next 10. And let's look at what it means. But this is a part of my own correction, because for me, sometimes I can get so juiced about what we look like 10 years from now. Because I'm a planner, man. I'm a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. And the truth is this, that I can myself get so excited and so focused and so zeroed in on the destination that I forget to enjoy the journey. And so this comes from my own conviction, and this comes from my own sincerity and where I'm at and looking at this church. And listen, we've enjoyed the journey. It's been 10 amazing years with some of the most amazing people on the planet, such a staff, such a crew, such a team, such brotherhood and sisterhood, and just what God is doing and setting things up for the future. But I can get so zeroed in on where we're headed, man, I can miss on enjoying right now and what it looks like to steward the present well. And I was sharing this with Wes as he was here, and just what an incredible word that he shared 2 weeks ago. And I was sharing this with him. We were talking. He's like, you know what, Sean, listen, what does it look like? Yes, we're called to be great stewards, but what happens when you steward the present well? We're called to steward right now, right now. What does it look like for you and I to enjoy the journey we're in? And listen, you might be in a season and you might be in a difficult place, man. Maybe you are, but that is just a season. And we come to a place to realize life is ups and downs. You come to a place to see, what does it look like biblically, this journey called life, right? And I want to read this, starting right off in Ecclesiastes 3, right here. I want you to see this. It says this, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, and there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. I love this, because this is written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. 1 Kings tells us that Solomon is the wisest man to ever walk the planet, besides Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. Solomon has given us books of wisdom. And here he writes Ecclesiastes as a book of wisdom. And there's just so, you can dive into Ecclesiastes and gain so much from it. And I love that he speaks right to life. He says, there's an appointed time for everything. I love this. Verse 2, there's a time for birth and there's a time to die. Well, that's everything. you're born, and then unless Jesus returns, every single person who's ever had breath will die. I don't know if you knew that or not. That's a surprise to some, but three of you understood. Okay, yeah, there's a day that I'm going to die. The rest of you, good luck. Anyways, but I love it because Ecclesiastes speaks here in chapter 3. It speaks about seasons of life, and it talks about appointed times. And what happens when you walk in a place to say, you know what, I'm in this journey, and I'm going to enjoy the journey. And I've kind of broken things up into four quarters for myself personally. Let me just kind of share this with you. I had an opportunity to go this week, Wednesday night, I've got family that's in Syracuse and was able to go into Syracuse and minister on Wednesday night to a group of 50 plus. They were kind of opening this new ministry. It was a dinner. It was incredible. Kind of sharing on my heritage and the legacy that I come from and the legacy that I hope to leave. And just and speaking on that next week is Father's Day. We're going to speak on what it looks like to live and leave a legacy. And it's going to be so powerful. Please come next Sunday. Bring a friend. Bring somebody. Invite somebody. We're going to speak to dads. And it's going to be powerful on what legacy really means. Legacy literally means leave something behind. Transfer of something. And we can't. I can preach it now. I'm so pumped. I can't do that because it's 12:01. Come on. Here we go. But had the opportunity to really just share and look. And I believe that this, man, and this was like that group was like in the third and fourth quarter. Right? Life is built up in four quarters. When you speak to the older groups, that's the third and fourth quarter. And sometimes some of them are on overtime. You know what I'm saying? Amen to that. Anyways, and we come to a place, I want you to see in verse 11, and we're instructed to go through life and kind of enjoy the journey. And let me just share this. Everyone just look at me just for a moment, please. We look at this and say, listen, we have from 12 up in this service. And, you know, when you're 9, 10, 11, like, that's the first part, and that will, you know, kind of build some things in you. But I look at the first quarter, when you really start looking at where you're at 12 and 13, you are making decisions. You're coming to a place to be a teenager. You're coming into a place to walk into a place of puberty. You're walking in a place to come into womanhood or manhood. And you're in this place. This is the first quarter. And then there are quarters can go quicker. Right? If you're in the third and fourth quarter and your kids are out of the house, you're in a whole new world, right? But when you're 13, what are you doing? You're looking to drive at 16, right? You're going like 100 miles an hour. I have a 21-year-old who now is living on his own. He's got a career. He's going forward. I have a 19-year-old. She is in a position where she now doesn't need mom and dad so much. I don't think she's needed mom and dad for a long time, but that's what she thinks. But we, you know, 19, she's now in a place where she really doesn't need mom and dad so much. And she really is functioning in a place, still living at home, but yet on her own, making her own decisions. But my 13-year-old, he's home, still has complete influence from mom and dad. But the jump from 13 to 21, that's a snap. But the seasons of life are completely different. Our life is built up of one continuous journey, but man, they're built up into different seasons, and they're built up into different quarters, and they're built up. And I look at this, and when you're 13, man, you can't wait to get to 16 so you can drive. And I love this because, man, when I was 16, man, day I turned 16, I'm at DMV in a very long line, just waiting to get to that. They don't have the long lines anymore because you can do so much online. Amen. And take that test, man. You took the written test, and then you go in, you get your permit, and you drive like crazy, and you're so juiced to go take your road test, and you pass your road test. And of course, the next thing is to get a car. Of course, my dad, so amazing as he is. Okay, Sean, this is the deal. I'm gonna find your first car for you. I'm like, Dad, that's so kind, but you're gonna pay for it. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Like, if I'm buying my car, I kind of want to pick the color. I want to kind of, you know, you got to go with a sports car at 16, right? You need something that hits 120 fast. Like, and he's like, no, this is the opposite of that. I'm going to buy you something, or I'm going to find you something that you're going to pay for that's going to be safe. And he bought me, excuse me again, I had to pay for this thing, $1,000. It was this bright yellow Ford something or other that was the size of a house. It was unbelievable. I'm like, did you give me an RV? What is this, Dad? Well, number one, you're not going to get lost because it's puke yellow. It was nasty. And it's humongous and just hard metal. So anything you crash into is not going to hurt you. Okay, but I have to pay for this thing, right? He says, well, yeah, that's how it works. Maybe in your world, Dad. Well, you're in my world, son. So I'm like, you know, you can't win with that, right? And he thought he was like, you know, buying this big, nasty yellow boat. But all things work together for good, because when you're 16, 17, and you're really the only one at that time in high school that can drive, right? And you begin to figure out, okay, this humongous yellow boat. Like, if you're the only one that can drive, nobody cares what you're driving. They just want to get in and go, right? I could fit 25 people in that car. I'm like, Dad, this is the best car ever. Woo, score. He's like, son, that's not the point. I'm like, it's all good. All things work together for good, Dad. It's perfect. You know, true story, it had a hole in the floorboard. Don't, you could spit down there and whatever. But it was just, If you had to go pee, you had a spot. That's all I'm saying, right? I'm not saying anybody did that. But the point is this, when you're 13, sometimes you miss 14 and 15 because the only thing you're focused on is 16. And maybe when you're 16 and 17, man, you're looking at graduating so you can get to college. And then you know, all you're doing is looking at who my spouse is going to be and what my career is going to be. And you miss some of the most precious times in life is your high school days. And then I think it goes even more so that when you find your wife or you find your husband and you get into that place of career, man, you look so hard at what it looks like to raise our kids and to get our kids in and out of the house. And just, I think we're sometimes so destination oriented, we can miss the journey to that destination. And I love this because I want you to see this right here. Chapter 3, verse 11, watch this. And he has made everything appropriate in his time. Your version may say he has made everything beautiful. And I love that because it just screams of our God who makes everything beautiful. And there's that beauty in that appropriate time. He has also set eternity in their hearts so that man will find, watch this, so that man will find out, so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Which, you know what this says? This is saying, listen, yes, every man knows that there is eternity. That is set in every man's heart. But our God is so great and our God is so big that there's no one that can fathom the greatness of our God. You may have a version that speaks to that going, listen, no man can understand the beginning and the end like our God. No one can even fathom what that looks like. That is how great and that is how big our God is. And when you come, amen, come on. And when you come to this place to realize, man, the only reason I breathe is because he gives me breath. And man, when in the beginning of Genesis 1 and 2, he piles this up, this whole pile of dirt, and then he forms man, and all of a sudden, wham, he breathes his spirit within man, and this dirt becomes, the Bible says, a living being. And when you begin to understand, the only breath I have in me is the very breath that's borrowed from the creator of the universe. What happens, church, what happens when you begin to flip a switch and begin to understand, man, I'm on borrowed time, and I'm on borrowed air, and I'm on borrowed breath, and the only reason I breathe is borrowed breath that he allows me to breathe, and that's how great my God is, and you become to get this, come on, you can clap on that, that's a good move, amen, and you come to this place to realize, man, I can't figure out the depth of who my God is. And what happens when you can take that and say, I'm gonna enjoy the journey. And we had Seek Sunday night. Man, if you haven't been to Seek, I think it quite possibly, besides obviously our Sunday morning service, man, it is quite possibly one of the most important things we do in this church as a community. Because Seek is once a month, and it is in that moment. It is in that service. It's a very real service. It's a faith-building service that says, God, I don't know tomorrow, but you do. I don't know what's going to happen next week, but you do. I don't know what's going to happen this month, but you do. I do know that I have X, Y, Z, and I know I have this. But God, in this moment, I'm going to walk by faith, and the Bible says, commit it to the Lord or roll it over. The word is to roll over onto him. And this past Seek, it was just so powerful. It was so good, and it is a monthly faith builder that gets us through the journey. To say, God, I'm gonna trust in you, and in that I get opportunity to enjoy the ride. Because watch this, look at this, here it is, verse 11 again. And he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts so that man will not find out the work which God has done from beginning even to the end. Watch this, verse 12. And I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good. To rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. I love it that here we see in Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us to enjoy the journey. Watch this, here it is. We know how great God is, and God is way beyond man. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's bigger than we could ever imagine him being. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He knows the beginning to the end, way beyond we could ever, ever even fathom. That's how great our God is. And in that, he says, we're called to rejoice, right? We're called to rejoice and do good in this lifetime. Man, that just screams. enjoy the journey. Verse 13, moreover, than any man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor, and this is a gift from God. I love this. Sometimes we can get a little twisted, and we walk in this journey, and we're just looking at the brokenness, and we're just looking at the hurt, and we're just looking at the pain, and we're just trying to get to that next destination, and we miss the idea of what it means to enjoy the journey, what it really looks like to steward your moment right here, right now. Well, what are you doing in this moment? Because I'm one, I can look ahead and I can miss the moment. Man, if you're a teenager, you can miss those precious, precious years as a teen only because you want to get to the next. Or maybe a young adult and you're married and you don't have kids yet, but there's such a desire for kids. You can miss some amazing, precious moments in that season of just being husband and wife. Renee and I waited 4 years before Carter came. And those were some of the most precious times. And those were concentrated times on just me and her and me, and it was beautiful. And then you start having kids, and then energy goes in to the kids, and that's such an amazing season. Then you can look at what that looks like when you're married with kids, and just that, I'm telling you, that season can go so quick. And listen, Renee's not here today. My man Ethan, baseball player, they're in the semifinals to a baseball tournament right here in Olean. And I got to be honest with you, man. If I wasn't preaching today, my priority is family. I wouldn't be here. I'd be coaching first base. Saying, just keep running. They don't have an arm in the outfield. Run. Why? Because I know that my time with him in baseball, it's a short, short season. And I love that we talk about priority in this in this community, in this family. I love how there's people who are texting me this week, Sean, family's priority, we're going camping, we're not going to be here. And and I love that we're taking advantage of the sunshine to go be with family as a priority. I love that. Because we understand it's a short season. It's a short season. What are we doing to invest in our kids? What are we doing to invest in our family? What are we doing to really say, okay, yes, work is a priority, I got it, yes, but family is a priority. And knowing that that season is short, sometimes we can get so caught up in what's ahead, we miss the right now. And I love that Ecclesiastes 3, it just screams in verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor, it is a gift of God. That's incredible. But I know this, if you could turn to Matthew 13, please. I know this, that what is it? I think is one of the biggest pieces that crushes the joy in the journey. I think it's one of the pieces that destroys us embracing the moment. And I, honestly, I think it's something that every single person deals with, including me. And it's a crazy word. It's called worry or anxiety. And when you understand what it means to enjoy the journey, one of the things that will crush that enjoyment in the journey, one of those things that will sidetrack you and distract you, one of those things I'm just pumping along and things are going good and I'm really enjoying the moment, I've owned the moment. But what happens when worry creeps in? What happens when anxiety creeps in? What happens when, listen, worry is crazy because most of the time you can't do anything about any circumstance or you're worried about something that's probably not going to happen. And it just rips the joy out of the journey. And I think when we come to a place, what would happen, honestly, if we looked at this? And we could actually come to a place in life to say, don't worry about it. Our God is great. He knows my tomorrow. Listen, the Bible says don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will have enough issues of its own. And you come to this place to jump on and dive into the Word and say, no, my hope is in Him. I'm going to depend on Him. I'm going to trust in Him. He knows my tomorrow. I'm not going to be overwhelmed with worry. Listen, there's people, listen, they are such worrywarts. Every time they see the milk in the fridge, they think it's spoiled. Well, I don't think we better sniff that first. I just bought it yesterday. The date is, we got a month to go. It just came out of the cow, man. We're good. You know? But we can get so wrapped up in worry, and we miss what it means to steward today well and joy. We miss what it means to rejoice and do good today in this lifetime. And I love this because Matthew 13, this is so good. And this is Jesus. He's telling a parable. Like, give me just five more minutes, six more minutes, maybe seven. We'll roll. I love this because you see it right here. What happens? And I love this because we're word people, man. We believe the word of God is the absolute truth. And you and I are called to live out this book. We're called to study this book. We're called to dive into this book. We're called to be so hungry for it that we starve for it. And man, I love that right now our staff is going through the book of Psalms. Every day we go through that day's Psalms, and we text the verse out to the rest of the team of what that verse meant to me. And just, I'm telling you, Psalms is food for the soul. And you can come to a place to dive into the word and trust and believe it. What happened if we would just come to a place to say, man, God says it. Man, I got to walk in the truth of the, he meant what he said. I'm going to walk in the truth to believe this word. And Jesus tells the parable of the seed being sown on four different grounds. And there's one ground that's particular to this, and it's the thorny place. It's the thorny ground, verse 22. And then this is Jesus, he's defining this to his disciples, he's breaking this down, and he says this, and the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, right? I love that. Yes, I've heard the word, I read the word, I study the word. This is what it's talking about. Man, the seed is sown, it's talking about the word of God as a seed, and it's sown, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing it. I love, what's it say? It's the one who's heard the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Look at this. When you come to a place to say, God, what happens when I read the word? And what happens when worry comes? What happens when I see it, but I don't know if I believe it? I'm reading it, but I don't know if I can buy into it. Man, I believe that, God, you say that I'm supposed to roll it over to you, and I'm supposed to commit it to you. And Lord, the Bible says, if I acknowledge you in all that I do, you will direct my steps. God, the Bible says, why am I worried about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink or what I'm going to wear? God, the Bible says, I'm not even supposed to worry about tomorrow. Why? Because we get into the word. And worry, what does worry do? It comes in and it snuffs out the word. How do you kill a fire? You snuff out the oxygen. You choke it. What happens when a word has been delivered into your spirit? And then what comes next? Worry. We just come off of this amazing seek, and we're giving God the whole month. And God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but you do. I know how great you are, and you are almighty. And God, I trust you for my tomorrow. And then what happens on Monday? Worry. And it chokes. It chokes. So when we walk in a place to say, God, I want to enjoy my journey. God, I want to rejoice and do good in this lifetime. God, at this moment, I want to steward well. I'm not going to get so focused. Nothing wrong with planning, but I'm not going to get so focused on what's ahead. I miss today. I'm not going to miss the first quarter of my life being a young teenager. I'm not going to miss the second quarter of my life, walking in marriage and newly fresh career. I'm not going to walk into a place to miss. And Renee and I, man, we're coming out of the tunnel, coming into the third quarter, man. And I don't want to miss what takes place when I have my 21-year-old walking into a career, and I have my 19-year-old, and God's hand is on her in such a way that we've just kind of taking our hands off, and she's just making some good, solid decisions, but yet we still have our 13-year-old, and we realize that this is seasons of life that change. And I don't want to miss what it looks like to enjoy the journey. And worry can just come in, and it can just suffocate our trust and our hope that Jesus said, listen, I am the creator of all things, and I am bigger, Sean, than you think I am. You will never know the depth of who I am. I believe this. We'll get to heaven one day. I'll be like, fear, and I had nothing to be worried about. Isn't it amazing that it takes going to heaven to figure that out when he tells us? It's going to be okay. Sean, don't worry about tomorrow. Sean, I know every time a bird falls, I got it. I know the lily pads, the flora, I got it. Why are you worried? Come on, enjoy the journey. Listen, this doesn't mean everything's peaches and cream. We will go through seasons of life. We are going to go through difficult times. There are moments that life's not fair. And we own that. We walk in a place and say, God, it's okay. What I do know is you're still good. And what I do know is you know my tomorrow. You knew this was going to take place. God, I'm trusting in you. I'm believing in you. And you come to this place to say, what's it look like to steward now, right now? Well, so I'm going to enjoy the journey. Last verse, that's 2 Thessalonians 3, please. I want you to see this because it's so good. Second Thessalonians 3:3 says this, but the Lord is faithful. I love it. And he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. What if we took that and said, okay, God, you are faithful. The word faithful means that he is reliable. He is trustworthy. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is reliable. The Lord will never let you down. The Lord is trustworthy no matter what happens in life, no matter where we're at in our seasons of life, whether you're a young teen, whether you're an advanced teen, whether you're walking and just trying to figure out a career, whether you're looking for that next job offer, whether you're walking in a place, do I get married? Do I marry him? Do I marry her? Whether you walk in this place, man, all of these huge career decisions, huge life decisions, but you walk in a place, God, you are faithful. You're reliable. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to acknowledge you. God, and you walk in a place to say, God, I'm going to trust in you because you know all things. And watch this. It lessens the worry. I'd love to say it just completely, totally removes the worry. I think that's where we're supposed to be. And watch this is this. And he will strengthen. He will strengthen and protect you. The word strengthen means that he will establish you. He will get you in a fixed position. What happens when our hearts are fixed? What happens when we come to this place? And I love Brendan's verse that just this morning, man, I will be steadfast and immovable. I love, I will be steadfast and immovable. No, I will not be moved. I believe in who my God is. I know that he is the creator of all things. I know that he's bigger than I could even fathom. I know that he is great. He knows my tomorrow. I will be steadfast and immovable. Always, I love this, always abounding. That means in abundance, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I can know that my time is not a waste. Man, it's not in vain. It's not a waste of time. I'm going to serve in this journey. I'm going to live in this journey. I'm going to live in the right here. I'm going to live in the right now. I'm going to enjoy this. Why? Because I am steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Man, I can know that in that, it's not a waste of time. And it's not in vain. Come on, church. Give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, my God is faithful. He is reliable, and he will establish me, fix me, and he will protect me. He will guard me. We come to a place to see what does this look like for you today. If you could just bow your heads for me. Let's come to a place to say, okay, God, where am I in this? Do I get overwhelmed with worry? Do I get so focused on the next thing? Do I get so focused on what's next that I miss right now? I'm just being honest. That can be me. What happens when we come to a place to buy into a statement that says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Plan for it. Live in a way that acknowledges God. Walk in a great fear of him. Live out the biblical truth. Understand the Bible. Study the Bible. Get into the Bible. Live his way. Walk in obedience to truth. And then don't worry about it. But I'm just in this place. Say, where are you in this place this morning? Right here, right now. Where are you right now? worried about tomorrow? You worried about that next step? Are you so focused on your destination that you miss the moment? You miss the right now. Father, we want to walk in a place to rejoice and do good in this lifetime. We want to eat, we want to sleep, we want to work the labor of our hands, and it's a gift from you. Father, I pray for every person in this place that whatever season they're in, they're on a journey. God, we would truly look at right now and not miss it. We would look at what's a priority and not miss it. Just gonna ask you, seriously, before the Lord right now, have you put priority aside so that you can get to your destination and you missed right now? Maybe your marriage has struggled. Maybe your kids have struggled because you missed right now. But that can change today. Today, will you put priorities in place to say, no, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about what I eat, what I wear. Lord, you know my tomorrow. Worry cannot add one single day to my life, but it can take, and it can take, and it can take so much time, and it can take so much mind time, and it can just give so much stress. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Focus on right now. Father, we just thank you for this moment. I pray over this week that, God, we would just refocus even this week. Even this week, we'd say, no, God, I'm not going to worry about next week. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. God, I'm going to live right now. Right now, I'm going to live. And I'm going to enjoy my journey. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.